Good afternoon. Welcome to the August 21st Technical Coordinating Committee meeting. We will get started with the approval of the agenda.
Move so, approval.
Second, Michelle Strickland, City of Savannah.
All right. All right. And we will start to my left.
Senator, yes.
Strickland, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Any folks online?
And any online attendees, if you could please vote online as well. We'll give you the option to speak shortly. I apologize.
Brooks, yes.
Dunnies, yes.
Moskowitz, yes.
Okay. Moving on to our action items, the June 18th meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Right.
McCurry.
Start with.
Senator, yes.
Strickland, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Wilson, yes.
Brooks, yes. Right. Up next, we've got the 2050 MTP amendments.
Good afternoon. I will talk about the 2050 MTP amendments. We actually received several amendments and for different reasons. For the MTP, the most important consideration for us for any amendments to make sure if we amend the projects in, the financial balance of each cost band is still good. So basically we need to have like more revenues to cover the project costs. So I'll just go over several of these amendments to so that we can decide on which one we need to do administrative modification or one-step amendment or two-step amendment. So we received the two 2050 MTP amendment requests from Chatham County. One is the John Carter Road Widening Project. Yeah, is it working now? Can you record it? Okay, now, okay. Sorry about that. It has some technical difficulty. Okay. For the MTP amendments, as I mentioned, so we need to decide on whether it's administrative modification, one-step amendment or two-step amendment. So administrative modification would be like small changes to existing projects that's already included in the 2050 MTP. One-step amendment is if you delete a project or add a project, it doesn't impact other projects already in that cost band. And two-step amendment is if you include this project, it will kick out some other projects. So we have to decide on what we can do. And we received the request from Chatham County, GDOT, and the City of Savannah. So I will just go through each project. For Chatham County projects, there are two amendments. One is John Carter Road Widening. So you can see this is the preliminary engineering and right-of-way. Hopefully it will be in cost band one because Chatham County wants to apply for the call for projects, to apply for the funding during the call for projects. So this is the reason that they want to amend this project. And the utility and construction phase will happen in cost band two. And Chatham County actually attached a local fund commitment letter, so they will cover the utility and construction funds. So based these are the one of the projects. One is the John Carter Road Widening Project. Another one Chatham County requested is the State Route 204 at Pine Grove Signal Elimination. As you all know that the VHB, the consultant, presented to TCC several times already on the State Route 204 access study, and this is one of the recommendations from the study. So this is basically an operational improvement project. And Chatham County also wants to apply for funding for this project during the call for project process. That's the reason. The cost for this one is almost $20 million, and all of the phases will be in cost band one. And GDOT actually didn't send us the MTP amendment request, but they did send us TIP amendment via a annual mass amendment package. One of those projects is not included in our 2050 MTP. So before we process any TIF amendments, we have to process MTP amendments to make sure this project is in the MTP. Otherwise, we cannot include it in the TIF. So this project is I-16 from I-95 from Chatham County all the way to State Road 67 in Bullock County. So it is a huge widening project. And the total project cost actually for the whole segment is about $522 million. And then the segments within our boundary, which is between I-95 and to the Effingham County, Bryan County county line, is almost $172 million. So this is the project, GDOT project. And then City of Savannah requested two projects. One is the Benton Boulevard widening from Highland Boulevard to the Polar City Limit. And another one is Skidway Road. So I think there might be an error over here. It says Gwinnett Street, south to Montgomery. But unfortunately, City of Savannah didn't submit any financial information, so we cannot determine whether they will fit into the 2050 MTP. So based on the information we received, CORMPO did some kind of analysis to see whether the project can be accommodated into the 2050 MTP. For the John Carter Road widening project, currently in cost band one, we have a positive balance, about $3.6 million. And for this project, for phase one, is actually requesting about $3.4 million. And phase two, since Chatham County would come with local funds, so those would be considered additional revenues. So we think that we can accommodate this project into the 2050 MTP. For the Pine Barren, Pine Grove signal elimination, we consider this project to be consistent with operational set aside in the 2050 MTP. I think you can read the set aside policy over here. So this project has to be, it does have a local project sponsor, which is Chatham County, but it has to be consistent with our vision plan. We will probably perform a vision plan update or administrative modification because we have President Street done, US 17 corridor study done. So all of those recommendations will be amended into the vision plan. But if Chatham County includes this one into the capital improvement program, and this project will be eligible for inclusion. So it will be consistent with the 2050 MTP operational improvement set aside. And for the GDOT project, the I-16 widening project, there GDOT previously had one project that is between I-95 and Puller Parkway. So because this bigger project will cover that, so we will request, CORMPO will send a letter to GDOT to request a cancellation of that smaller project. So it will be replaced by this big project. And also, GDOT will come up with, almost 90% of the local funds. So as you can see over here, actually, so only about a very, very small amount will come from the federal dollars. So when we developed 2050 MTP, we actually assumed no local funds, no state funds will be available. So since GDOT come up with all these state funds, these would be considered additional revenues. So basically, the project will come in with the money attached to it. So we think that will cover this project, and the money in the state funds actually is coming from the state surplus funds. I did include some language over here on what kind of funds coming from, because this is actually from the state surplus funds. So from like state has some surplus funds and divide those funds into different categories, and this project is actually meet with one of those categories. So we think that including this project will not impact the financial balance, so it will not kick out other projects. But we also want to mention that there are several other state-funded projects with all these state funds. The reason those are not being included, or GDOT didn't request them to be amended into the 2050 MTP, is because if you have state funds, your project development probably doesn't have to go through very stringent NEPA processes. So they have more flexibility, so they want to keep them as a state funded. The reason this project is being amended in is because it has some federal funding with it. So just want to mention that So besides this I-60 widening project, other state-funded projects, we already listed two of those into the illustrative section of the TIP. Actually, one of those projects, State Route 21, is already included in 2050 MTP. But in the 2050 MTP, we use the MTP revenue projections to cover this project. But now, since the state funds come in with it, we can actually release those federal funds associated with this project in the 2050 MTP. So basically, we have more revenues in cost band one because of the state funds. Another one is the connector. So basically, this is the Benton Boulevard. So GDOT will widen Benton Boulevard from State Route 30 to Highland, or Jimmy DeLoach or Highland. Jimmy DeLoach, I think, right?
Benton from State Route 30 to Highland.
To Highland.
And then Highlands from Benton to State Route 17, Jimmy DeLoach.
Yeah. So City of Savannah is coordinating with GDOT on this one. So far we haven't seen the concept report, so I don't know exactly what's going to happen. But this project comes with state funds, and we actually upclassified Benton Boulevard to major arterial, minor arterial, during last functional classification update, I think last December. So it's eligible for federal funds, but the GDOT is coming up with the state funds for this project. Another one GDOT wants to cover is for the I-95 from actually all the way from Richmond Hill to State Route 21. So we did identify the I-95 widening needs or auxiliary needs in our vision plan. But if GDOT has enough state funds to cover this, we can potentially move that into 2050 MTP. But like I said, they want to keep some kind of flexibility. So that's why they requested for this project to be included in the illustrative section of the TIP. So we don't have to amend this project officially into the 2050 MTP. So basically, the three amendment requests from Chatham County and GDOT, John Carter Road widening, and Pine Grove Road signals elimination, and the I-60 widening project can be accommodated by the 2050 MTP. So we will officially amend these three projects into the 2050 MTP cost band one. For the City of Savannah project, the Benton Boulevard project, and Skidway Road project, because we didn't have the financial information like cost estimating, so we really cannot do this kind of analysis, so we are not going to process MTP amendments during this round. So we did have a 15-day, we did advertise for a 15-day public comment period. We didn't receive any public comments yet, but during the participation process, we were actively engaging with Chatham County, City of Savannah, and GDOT to try to sort out details about these projects. So we have incorporated their comments into this updated report, and we will probably post this updated report to the website, because our public comment period actually indicated, the public advertisement indicated that we can update the report based on the input, and we will post the updated report during the public comment period. So we created two new project pages. One is for the John Carter Road widening, because if you remember for the 2050 MTP, we do have appendix that shows individual project pages. So based on the information we have, we can create the information for the John Carter Road widening project and the I-16 project. For the signal project, because we have operational improvement set aside as one project page, so we don't need to list that individually over here. And also at the end, you can see the local fund commitment letter from Chatham County for the John Carter Road project. So basically, based on the staff evaluation, we think that we can amend these three projects into the 2050 MTP without impacting other projects. So basically, we can maintain the financial balance. So if you don't have any questions, I will ask for TCC to endorse the 2050 MTP amendments.
So moved, Strickland.
Second, McCurry.
We'll start to the left.
Sanathi, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Wilson, yes.
Brooks, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Wakoda. Up next, the TIP amendments for August.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I'll just open that report. So we have received several TIP amendment requests from Chatham Area Transit and GDOT, and part of the TIP amendment requests from GDOT were from the mass amendment that they submitted. So I'll just get into the details of that. As far as a public comment period, we are not we currently have not received any input from the public, but we have received input from staff from GDOT on some revisions that needed to be made to the report and the addition of some new projects, and so we updated the report based on that. Now moving in to the specific proposed amendments to this plan. First, we have several amendments from CAT, and those amendments include operating assistance, preventative maintenance, the addition of a new project for farebox replacement, a new project for Plant Riverside Dock, and then updated cost information for the FTA Section 53339C Lower No Emission Program. And then from the GDOT side, we have an amendment request for the SR 404 Spur / US 17 project, the SR 26 / US 80 project, the SR 26 / US 80 at Lazarito Creek project, and then the addition of a new project into the TIP, which is the I-16 project from Chatham County to Bullock. And then the addition of an administrative modification, which is from the project from I-95 from SR 144 to SR 21. So moving into the more specific details about these projects. So the projects under Section 53-07, I believe Chatham Area Transit requested those in June, but we moved them to August. And so here are the details of in terms of the updates that are being made to these plans. So first, under Section 53-07 funds for operating assistance, the costs are being revised so that now under Section 53-307, there's $2.9 million in funds under fiscal year 2027, and then $2.9 million in local funds in fiscal year 2027. Also for CAT, under preventative maintenance, there is another proposed cost revision. So under Section 53-07 funds, there are $2 million in funds in fiscal year 2026, and then $500,000 in local funds in fiscal year 2026. Moving on to farebox replacement, this is the addition of a new project. And with this new project, there is a proposed $2.4 million in Section 53-07 funds in fiscal year 2026 and $600,000 in local funds in fiscal year 2026. And then this is also a new project from CAT. And this within this project, there's $500,000 in Section 53-07 funds in fiscal year 2026, and then $125,000 funds in local funds in fiscal year 2026. And this is the last CAT project proposed amendment request, and this is the Section 53-39C funds. So this includes $6.4 million in fiscal year 2026 for hybrid electric buses, and then in fiscal year 2027, there are $9.4 million in federal funds for hybrid electric buses. And then there's also workforce development. So there's $340,000 for workforce development in 53-39C funds, and then $400,000 in Section 53-39C funds, and that's in fiscal year 2026 and 2027 as well. Moving on to the Chatham Area the GDOT projects. So GDOT had an amendment request for the SR 404 Spur. And that is specifically moving funds from fiscal year 2025 to fiscal year 2026, and then revising those funds. So previously it was $500,000 in funds with a split of $400,000 in federal funds and $100,000 in state funds. Now it's $49,000 in federal funds and $12,000 in state funds in fiscal year 2026. The Bull River Road project. So GDOT requested to move the Y230 funds in the fiscal year 2026. And so now that cost split is $1.1 million in Y230 funds and $296,000 in local funds in fiscal year 2026, and then some additional local funds totaling to $52,000 in fiscal year 2026. Moving on to the Lazaretto Creek project. So this is a amendment request to update the some of the funding costs and revise the funding costs. So in fiscal year 2026, there will be $122,000 in local funds. And then also in fiscal year 2026, there will be $15,000 in Y001 funds and about $4,000 in state funds. And this is one of the projects that were updated per GDOT's comments. This is another project that was included based on GDOT request, and it is requesting to amend several million dollars of funds in a fiscal year 2026. And so that includes right-of-way funds, so $1.9 million in right-of-way funds in fiscal year 2026, $1.3 million in utility phase funds in fiscal year 2026. And then for the construction phase, that includes $73 million in fiscal year 2026, $94 million in fiscal year 2026, and then also $264,000 in Y001 funds. And then that split is also includes $66,000 in state funds. And then these SGF-F funds, these are all state funds. So the only federal fund here is the Y001. And then this is the administrative modification to include this illustrative project because it's regionally significant from I-95 from SR-144 to SR-21. And this is just the appendix showing what those updated project pages will look like. So for Chatham Area Transit, these are the projects referenced above. And in red, that's where those totals will change. And then we also have that other Chatham Area Transit project table update. And then for the projects requested by GDOT, we also have those updated project pages here as well with the updated numbers. And then the inclusion of a new project, the I-16 project, and then the inclusion of a new project in the illustrative section of the TIP. And that's the end of the report. We also did the MTP TIP consistency check, and all of these projects are consistent with the 2050 MTP. And for the transit projects, they're consistent under transit improvements and transit capital improvements. And then for the highway projects, here's the table showing the consistency with the 2050 MTP. But that was basically the meat of this TIP report. And please let me know if you have any questions. And this is an action item.
Thank you, Asia. Are there any questions on any of the TIP amendments proposed? All right. Can we get a motion to endorse?
McCurry, so move.
Olm, second.
Start to the left.
Senator, yes.
Strickland, yes.
Olm, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Wilson, yes.
Brooks, yes. Thank you. Non-motorized plan amendments.
Okay, so this is the first non-motorized transportation plan amendment in a very long time, and it's a pretty large amendment. So in August 2025, Chatham County requested several amendments to amend projects into the non-motorized transportation plan, and then we also received requests from Port Wentworth, and so we included that in the report. But we recently had a bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee. And additional amendment requests were made to add more projects into the non-motorized transportation plan. So I'll be describing that report below. In terms of the public participation process, we're doing a 15-day public comment and review period, and we haven't received any public comment, but we have received comment from the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And so the report has been pretty heavily revised with their comments. So I'll just go into, I'll just read this segment here just to describe what those changes were. So we received comment from BPAC at the August 19th meeting, And specifically, it was regarding Tied to Town and the segments that composed the route. So Core MPO staff found that while some segments of Tied to Town were within the non-motorized plan, the whole project was not officially adopted into the plan. And then additionally, for projects to be eligible for federal funding through the MPO, they must be consistent with the non-motorized transportation plan. So to ensure that the Tied to Town loop was fully incorporated into the non-motorized transportation plan, and then also some other regional bike and pedestrian routes, the committee decided to add additional amendments to the non-motorized transportation plan. And that includes the projects that have been identified with the ongoing non-motorized transportation plan update process that we have going on right now. So additionally, our newly named committee also voted to approve these additions to this plan. And that newly named committee is the Community Opportunities and Public Involvement Committee. It actually should not say advisory. That was a, this is just a small mistake that I can remove. But that was formerly TPAC. So moving in, these are all of the amendment requests. So these are the original requests from Chatham County and Port Wentworth. And then I added a new section for the non-motorized transportation plan update projects to be included within this amendment so that they're consistent with the plan and they can be eligible for some of the federal funding that they can access through the Core MPO. So moving into the specific amendments. So for Chatham County, we have the Ferguson Avenue bikeway project. And then we also have the LaRoche Avenue bikeway project to be amended into the plan. And then for Port Wentworth, we have several projects. And these projects were are sourced from the Anchor Trail conceptual plan. And so there are 12 projects that Port Wentworth wants to amend into the plan. But then in addition to these 12 projects, the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee also wanted to amend several projects into the plan. So I'll just read the project status to describe that in more detail. In August 2025, BPAC voted to adopt the projects part of the current and ongoing non-motorized transportation plan update and to the most recently adopted version of the non-motorized transportation plan. This includes amending Tied to Town, East Coast Greenway, Georgia Hilo, Effingham County's Master Bike Plan, and individual segments within the plan into the plan. And so the following pages show what those projects are. So that includes amending major projects into the plan, including Tied to Town. And these are some of the individual segments that compose Tied to Town. And these top two are actually the amendment request that Michelle submitted to me, so I made sure to include them into this amendment request. It also includes the East Coast Greenway, so specifically the parts of the East Coast Greenway that are within our planning area now that we're requesting for that to be amended into this plan. Also the parts of Georgia Hilo that are within the MPO planning area, we are proposing to amend this into the plan. And then this is the Chatham County alignment for Georgia Hilo as well. And then the projects within Effingham County's active Effingham plan. And so this is just an image of some of the proposed bike trails and then also the specific segments that were in their active transportation plan. And then the Port Wentworth projects, which we went over above, and so they're in the previous pages. And then some of the individual segments within the jurisdictions within the MPO planning area, so projects for Bloomingdale, which are listed here, and then City of Savannah projects that were identified in Savannah's Vision Zero plan. Thunderbolt projects that were identified by Town of Thunderbolt, Thunderbolt staff, and then projects that were identified in transportation studies, such as the SR-307 study and the SR-21 study. And so it's pretty much grown to be a massive amendment to accommodate those projects just because we have a lot of funding opportunities coming up and we want everyone to have a chance to be able to access those federal funds. And the first step for these bike and pedestrian plans is for them to be consistent with the non-motorized plan. So we decided to do kind of a massive amendment just to make sure they have that consistency and they meet that eligibility requirement.
so that they can access those funds, especially for the call for projects, which is coming up this fall. And this is just the appendix showing what those updated project tables would look like. Since we updated the report pretty recently, we don't have all of the projects that were referenced. These are just the original Chatham County and Port Wentworth projects that were given to us to or proposed to us to amend into the plan. But eventually we'll be able to update the tables with all of the projects that were mentioned. And that's the end of the report. Back to the consistency check. So these projects are consistent with the 2050 MTP under the non-motorized set aside. And so we're, this is an action item, and we're asking for approval or endorsement of this action item if there are no questions.
Anybody have a question?
Nope.
Oh, I do have one.
Yes.
How firm is the Georgia High-Low plan? I know that was included, but is that a firm, like, conceptual plan?
Yes, it is. We have comments back from Georgia Power, so that's been wrapped up, and we're hopefully going to be having an agreement here soon. So hopefully close to actually, you know, getting that started.
Okay. Cool. Thanks. That's all I had. If there are no other, can we get an endorsement for this?
So moved. McCurry.
Second, Holm.
Start to the left.
Send out the yes.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Wilson, yes.
Brooks, yes. Thank you. And then up next, we have a call for projects for the 27-2030 TIP development.
Okay, now we acted on the MTP amendments and non-motorized transportation MTP and MTP amendments. So those projects included are now eligible for the next round of call for projects. So we actually talked about the three packages, STPG, Y301, and then the carbon reduction program at the last meeting. So we decided at that time that we will host different workshops to have different committees review the criteria and packages and schedule and then get some solicited more input. So during that time, actually, we did two workshops, one workshop for the STPG and the one, and then carbon reduction program, and another workshop, separate workshop for the transportation alternatives program. We did get some input, not specifically on the criteria, the scoring criteria, but we did get some other input. So we actually updated all those packages, the menus and the forms, etc. So I will just outline over here the different things that we have done and ever since the last meeting. One is very important, particularly impacting our schedule, because we previously we decided to utilize ETIP, but we had a coordination meeting with Federal Highway Administration and the GDOT, and they told us, no, you're not ready for ETIP yet. So we decided we will pursue ETIP later. So that means this call for project will have to be done manually. So deletion of the ETIP utilization actually put the schedule a little bit ahead of time. Also, we got some, we attended, well, we actually talked about these previously already, like some forbidden words or flag words like resiliency and equity. Also attended the AMPO, national dialogue. So they particularly mentioned if you have resiliency and equity, if you include it in the previous plans last year, you're still okay. But if you include them in your current plan because of the new administration, they might come after you. Because we do know that some grant applications have been rescinded, and so the applicant have to revise the application, delete all of those flag words. So in order to prevent that situation, we made some wordsmithing to the application packages, as you, I will send it later. Another thing, we have a project manager update. This is particularly for the carbon reduction program, because if you don't know, Anna's leaving us this Friday. It's her last day. So Shibachi will take over the carbon reduction program. So it will be listed actually in the actual menu. And another thing is, I already talked about the workshop. We actually recorded both workshops, And hint, our IT people has already created a website. So the workshops have been posted over there. So once the menu and the packages are finalized, they will be posted to the website as well. And also when we receive the applications, we will post them so that the committee members can just review those and then provide information scores. And then also a very important item that we received received from the workshop is the lab certification and coordination, because if you want to apply for those grants and you have to be lab certified, so by the time we will give you the money, you should be lab certified. But we understand some smaller jurisdictions might not be lab certified by that time. So one of the points that we received, comment we received from the workshop is you can probably coordinate with the lab certified agencies and ask them to be your primary applicant. So they will provide the project management, but you will probably still provide the local match. So for example, I know that Port Wentworth is not lab certified now. So we have three lab certified organizations over here. One is Chatham County, another one is City of Savannah, and then the third one is City of Pooler. So say if Port Wentworth wants to apply for some funding for a bicycle pedestrian project, so they're not lab certified yet now. Approach Chatham County or Pooler or City of Savannah, asking them that, can you do the project manager for us? But we can sign an agreement, so we will pay the local match, that kind of thing. So we added that language in the menu just in case that one of the projects will be eligible for that one. And then also plan amendments, yes, in order to make your projects to be eligible for the funds, we just processed MTP amendments and then normal direct transportation plan amendments. And then we also have the call for project webpage already set up, so we just need to post the final documents. So basically, these are all of the changes that we have done since that. So I'll just go through each one of those menus. For the Y230, this is the form, okay. So Anna actually standardized the visual style guide. So when you see the different form, different menu, if you see different color, you know what kind of funding you are applying. So this actually orange looking color, you know, is STBG funds. So just go over this and then just enter all the information. So this is the form. So for the menu, we updated it to reflect one part I have already mentioned. We updated the lab certification requirement over here, and also the different timeline. And we also so we are thinking for the timeline. We are thinking, because we're not going to use ETIP, so we hope to finalize all of these menus and forms and probably by the end of September. By the end of August, and then considering the Labor Day weekend coming up, so we will probably open the call for projects on September the 8th, and we will give you a month to reply. So the deadline is October the 10th, and we will schedule a workshop, another workshop, just to probably basically holding your hands on how to submit applications, because Chatham County already know, some other jurisdictions probably don't know. So we will try to basically like give you more information. And then if needed, we can host another Q&A session just to help you to sort out all of these things. So we hope to have all of those final scores compiled in December. So by the time we receive the revenue projection from GDOT, we can start to allocate the funds. So I will be the project manager for the STBG. And so you can see the criteria didn't change, but we changed everything related to resiliency. We changed that to hazard mitigation. So everything related to equity, because we have a needs scoring, resiliency scoring, and equity scoring. Now it's needs scoring, hazard mitigation scoring, and then community development scoring. But basically the criteria didn't change, but the wording, we did some words missing over here. Here's the lab certification that we added. So you can coordinate it with the already lab certified agencies. So this is the STBG. And for the carbon reduction program, Anna developed this, the menu also, so if you see the color, if you see this color, I think what color will we use? Okay, it's this green color. So you know it's carbon reduction program, the funds that you're looking for. So for this one, we also updated the lab certification part of it. We also updated the schedule. This is the lab certification part, and this is the schedule. So the schedule will match the SDPG schedule, the same schedule, but the criteria didn't change. So when you click on the form, you can see based on the green color, you know you're applying for the CRP funds. And then the third one, the Transportation Alternatives Program, Asia updated the menu and it also updated the form. So if you see this dark red over here, you know you're applying for the Transportation Alternatives funds. So all of the information is provided over here. So we will also update the lab certification part of it. The eligibility requirements, we didn't get any comment on the specific criteria. The schedule has been updated, so it's the same schedule as the other two. And Asia will be managing this one. So the selection criteria didn't change, but we updated the equity because the non-motorized transportation plan is all based on equity scoring. So we changed the equity to community development and community improvement. So those are the changes. And then the form is also attached to this application. So if you see this one, you can see the dark red. So you know you're applying for the Transportation Alternatives funds. So some of the projects might be eligible for all three funding sources. So you might need to submit different applications, but most of the information would be similar, but it's just when you justify the different criteria based on the SDPG, based on the carbon reduction. So you might adjust your language a little bit to make sure they are more fitting into those criteria. So this is also an action item. We will ask the TCC to endorse the application package. That means the menu, the form, and then the schedule, updated the schedule. Any questions?
Can you go back to the lab certification part on just one of them?
Lab certification part. Let's just add this one. Oh, this is sorry.
The reason why I'm asking is I know Effingham County, we're in the middle of getting GDOT to approve us as lab certified. So I just want to make sure if Effingham County becomes lab certified during the middle of this, you know, we're going to be able to.
Yeah, we actually require lab certification by the time that we award you the funds or you're ready to use the funds. So if you apply for funds in fiscal year 2027. So by the time that you're going to spend the funds in 2027, you should be lab certified. So you still have some time to get lab certification if you don't want to go the other route.
Yeah, hopefully it's ironed out within the next month or two.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in the same situation. I already have all the requirements for the lab certification. I just have to submit it to GDOT and get it approved.
Yeah.
There'll probably be a few back and forth. Get ready. But I'll make a motion to approve it.
A second.
All right. Moved and seconded. Can we start to my left?
Yes, Senati.
Strickland, yes.
Holm, yes.
McCurry, yes.
Yes.
Brooks, yes.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to our status reports, ETIP requests for proposals.
Yes, I will talk about this one. We actually developed the RFP for the ETIP and presented that to you at last meeting. We actually got a conditional support from TCC and Corn Bureau Board. But after the Corn Bureau Board meeting, we had the coordination meeting with FHWA and GDOT. And they have a lot of concerns. So basically, they are saying that you're not ready. So we have to revise the RFP. And our RFP is actually already more detailed than the ARC and the Salem Area MPO RFP. But because their language is more general, But I think most of the concerns for GDOT FHWA is because based on ARC, because ARC, their RP was very, very general, so they have a lot of difficulty in deployment. So the deployment takes longer. So GDOT and FHWA wants us to be more specific. So the more we lay it out is the less time we will need for deployment. So I will just outline some of the concerns over here. The first one is easier to modify because we only listed the first year deployment cost. And GDOT mentioned that it probably should be a multi-year contract because you will have like maintenance cost for later years. So you need to outline that in the RP. So this one probably easier to address. And another thing is investment and continuity, because previously we have a DTS to provide ETIP, and after DTS stopped the service, and we're in a limbo. So they want us to have some contingency plan. So if you one of the vendors like stop service, what do you do? So they want us to have that contingency plan. So we will probably need to include some language in there. And then for Federal Highway Administration, the most important thing is for federal compliance and the demonstration of a physical constraint, because the TIP is a federally required product, and they don't think ETIP can meet that requirement. So we have to specify that properly. It's a tool. It's not going to replace the paper TIP or something. But we still need to figure out how to demonstrate a physical constraint in ETIP. So that's something we need to address. And then GDOT has the concern with deployment schedule and the difficulty, because actually FHWA oversaw on the ARC's deployment, and both of them think that 9 months that we included in the original RP is not enough. So they think that the schedule needs to be considered. So we need to consider each step. So we will revise that accordingly. And then also FHWA is concerned with the ETIP consistency with the statewide TIP, STIP. So GDOT decided that they need to have some internal discussion on how to resolve this. So we can revise RP, but we cannot revise RP without the GDOT input on this part. So this is a little bit more difficult to address. And then another one, number seven is actually easier to address, the concern for programming, because you cannot assume every funding break is 80-20. So some of those like 90-10, some of them probably like Section 5007 operating is 50-50. So this is easier because we enter all that information manually based on what we know. So this one is easier. But number eight is very, very hard for us to address, I think, in RP. Number eight and number nine actually are connected, because what they want us is to, because we for the ETIP, we need to give different user permissions. They want us to outline all of the project development process, from like concept development, right? We plan authorization, preliminary plan authorization, construction plan authorization. So they want all those GDOT project managers to be involved. So outline all of the development stages so different people can come in and then probably provide a check or something. So need different permission. So this is hard for us to figure out. So we probably need to have a like detailed meeting with the local project sponsors and then the GDOT project sponsors, just to go over the development total PDP process and then outline all of those and also identify who to give permission to. So this is the hard part that we cannot address until we get all those coordination meetings done. So basically, the ETIP RP is not ready to be released. So it's being delayed. So hopefully we can get it done in December, but I don't know at this point. So December, I think, is kind of optimistic schedule for me. So that's just to report to you. So we still need to work on it a little bit later.
Thanks. Do the GDOT PMs currently provide like the concept approval directly to y'all?
Okay. Yeah, they don't. That's why it's harder for us to get this included in the RP, but we will see what we can do.
Thanks. Up next, the UPWP call for projects, plans, and studies.
Okay. We normally do the UPWP COFOR projects, plans, and studies in August because we will start the UPWP development for the next fiscal year, probably in September, October. So for any plans and studies to be included in the UPWP, they have to go through two rounds of TCC discussion before they can include it in the UPWP, and also probably going through the third round before the grant application can take place. Actually, I'd want to mention that the GAMPO, normally the grant application takes place in August and March. So we are not going to apply for the August round this time because we want to finish the three studies we're doing. So we probably will consider March, but this time we're not going to do that. But this call for plans and studies is actually for fiscal year 2027, which covers July 1st, 2026, all the way to June 30th, 2027. So the deadline to submit plans and studies for consideration is September the 30th, 2025. So we already have several studies identified in the 2026. We haven't applied for funding yet, so those probably will carry over to the 2027. But if we have additional funds that, or additional studies that you want to propose, and this is the time.
Thank you. Words and language should comply with executive orders.
Hello. So I attached two documents, one of them being a presentation, but I won't give this whole presentation. It's more so to just share this as a resource to you. But to just give some background on this, there have been changes to federal priorities and the release of several executive orders, which have flagged or banned certain terminology, especially regarding any type of funding for or federal funding for agencies that receive federal funding, so like NPOs or organizations that rely on grants. So this presentation basically gives background on what those changes are. So it lists the executive orders, where these changes came from. And then it also provides a word list of some of those flagged words, and this is sourced from New York Times. We received a question about where New York Times found their information, and it was in coordination with other organizations, such as CDC, EPA, those types of organizations, and they compiled a list based on the feedback they got from there. But New York Times has it spelled out a little bit better about where they sourced this flagged word list. So the advice in general is to, if you're applying for some type of grant, maybe find an alternative word besides the ones that are listed here. And so we provided some alternative words that we'll be using moving forward. So, for example, instead of resilience, we'll be using hazard mitigation, for example. And then we have other sources that list their own alternative words, so synonyms or just any other way to kind of get around having any grant application flagged, because even in the Savannah area, we have received feedback from organizations that some of their grants have been flagged and they had to go in and change words based on that. And then here are also some links that have similar resources. And then under that presentation, there's also a report with strategies on how to reframe some of that language that might be a bit under fire based on federal priorities.
Thank you, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, USAID quarter study status report.
As you may remember, we kicked off the USAID corridor study phase two in May. We have received three deliverables so far. One is the project management plan, and another one is public outreach plan. Staff have provided comments, and the consultant have updated those two plans. And another deliverable that we got is phase one cost estimates, because the phase one, we have the project list, but we don't have the cost estimates. So now we have the cost estimates. So they will be added to the vision plan because the phase one project is already included in the vision plan, 2050 MTP vision plan, but just doesn't have cost estimates. Now we have that information, so we will process that as part of the vision plan administrative modification. And consultant is going to collect the traffic data collection. Actually, I think Shane is here. Is this week? Oh, okay. So we are collecting traffic data because the school is back in session. And so we will probably have the existing conditions report done. Probably have a presentation in December for the existing conditions. So far, they are moving according to schedule within budget. So this is the more updated like percentage of completion for each task.
Thank you. Up next is the Urban Flood Model Phase 2.
Hey everyone, good afternoon. Anna Broadmark-McClory. I'll be giving this status report. And so as you all know, UGA and GMC are the consultants on this study. We had a kickoff meeting on July 3rd, and we've had two project management meetings since. GMC created a Microsoft Teams channel for project management, file exchange, task tracking. Core MPO staff has reviewed the project management plan draft, and we sent it back to GMC, so we're working on finalizing that. I am leaving the MPC. Tomorrow will be my last day, but we have a great project manager, Sabashi. She's here. I'll let her introduce herself in just a moment. She is going to be great, has already been briefed, has been attending these meetings as well. So full faith that this project is going to go well. We have the schedule outlined here, so we'll have important dates, and this will be updated as we go. So we are off to a good start, and with that, I'll let Sabashi introduce herself.
Thank you, Anna. Hi, I'm Sabashi Karunaratne. I've been working in MPC for a year and a half now in Development Services and Current Planning Department. I am so happy to make the transition to Transportation Department because I know this team is so cool. And I am from Sri Lanka originally, and my education is in geology. I have a bachelor's and a master's in geology and also a master's in urban planning. So I am so excited to bring everything I have to this project. I'm super excited to work with you all. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sabashi. We're excited to have you as well.
And if I may, I just want to take a moment to just thank Anna for her work on this project. As you know, it's been a labor of love for MPC. We've been pushing this for a minute, and she kind of came in and took the reins and ran with it. The folks up in New Jersey are going to have a great planner as she and her husband take that adventure. But, you know, thank you again, Anna, for all the work you've done with us in MPC.
Yes, thank you tons, Anna. We appreciate it. And now we'll have the bike ped facility update.
Okay. So progress on the bicycle and pedestrian facility study is continuing. And for background on the study, it's an inventory study of all the bike lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks within the core MPO planning area. And Croy Engineering provided this report, but we actually had a meeting with Croy Engineering, and they had some questions that they wanted me to bring to TCC and core MPO board just because they were in need of some data and resources. And so I'll just go into the first question, which is asking for representatives that can serve in an advisory role on some type of committee to kind of meet and touch bases on the direction of the plan. So right now, she's trying to the project manager, Amy, she's trying to identify different representatives from all of the cities within the planning area of this project, but she doesn't have contacts for everyone. So if you have someone that could be in an advisory role to this project, please let me know their name and contact, and I can add them to the list that they have, just because they want to make sure they have representation
from every part of the planning area. Additionally, she did say that if you do not have staff that can join as an advisory role, maybe we can coordinate and do some type of public involvement, and that way we can get some of that involvement for the different jurisdictions within the planning area. So if you have any names, you can give them to me, or you can tell me right now too. And then I can pass them along to her. So that was the first question. And then the second question is, the project still has one more data need, and that's Effingham County's Safe Streets for All plan. So Effingham County, if you have that plan, you could share it directly to the data portal they have. And if you don't have that link, I can send it, or you can send it to me and then I can add it to the data portal. But they need that to complete their existing conditions report.
Yeah, just send me the link and we'll get it uploaded.
Great. But the rest of the report is attached for your review, but I wanted to bring the questions that she had specifically.
Does Effingham County have a more updated aerial photo? Yeah, that's another thing. I think what they are using is 2023, right? So do you have like 2024 aerial photo?
I'll have to check with GIS, but I believe we do.
Okay.
But we'll touch base on our side and see what we can get.
Okay, great. Thank you.
We will try to get you some votes for that advisory committee.
Thank you.
Great. And that moves us into information reports. Is there anyone online for the GDOT project status? Okay. That puts Chatham County up. Don't think there are any major things to report. We did recently add the CMCIP project to this, where we received the Federal Railroad grant. So that's going to be included under the federally funded projects. We had our public information open house for the State Route 204 access study on Tuesday, so that project should be concluding soon. And then our Quaco Road widening project, we had the pre-construction meeting for that one on today, so we're looking forward to get started on construction of Quaco Road. And those are all my updates. Up next is Savannah Hilton Head, skipped. I don't think City of Savannah is present anymore, but they have their projects listed. Anybody from Chatham Area Transit online?
Hey, it's Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Yeah, just, the status update is included in there, but I just want to say thank you to this committee for passing the TIP amendments and to let you all know that we are moving forward with that 5339. See funding and working with FTA on that. So I appreciate you all's support on that. Thank you.
Thanks. Now we'll have the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport. Is there anyone? Okay. City of Port Wentworth.
We don't have any major updates, but I just want to kind of give you a few updates on some of the projects that we have pending out there. We finally finished the fire station headquarters, so now it's fully operational. On the ice cove and the amphitheater, all the walls are up and the roof is being finished. The city hall expansion still on time for fall 2025. And on the sewer project rehab in the downtown area, so far we have about 30% complete. And we also just finished the stormwater master plan for the entire city. So we will start coming with some project for stormwater.
Awesome. Thank you. We've got Effingham County update.
Yeah, excited to finally have something to share. I won't go through all of it, just because there's a lot, but, I mean, some of the main takeaways is that Effingham County, we just updated our master transportation plan. I was thinking about it. We do have both the bike and master transportation plan on our county website. So that's available to download as well. That might be an easier way than me sending the whole file, but, So that got approved. So that's exciting. We got Gateway Parkway Extension. We're about to have a pre-construction meeting to kick that off. That's from Effingham Parkway to Hodgeville. And we have several roundabouts, all throughout the county that are listed there. I'm not going to go through them all, but, there's tons of roundabouts coming at different stages. I will say Effingham Parkway, we're excited about that getting complete. We're tracking April 2026 from Gateway to, 30 to be complete and open, and then July 2026, we'll be all the way up to Blue Jay. So we're excited about that. And then other than that, that's really about it. Thank y'all.
Thanks. I know that LATS is included. Were there any other informational reports?
Oh, I just was making a note that, you know, the Port Authority is here, so I didn't know if you had anything yes. to report.
Yeah.
It's loaded, but I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any questions.
Yeah, I just want to mention that all of the voting members are listed over here, so we want to give everybody an opportunity to provide a report.
Yeah. The only other thing I want to say just before I forget it, because it's been such a long, crazy day, is that the GAMPO conference is going to be here next month. And I think it's the 24th. Well, it starts on the 24th. And it'll be at the, Hampton on River Street, I mean, on Bay Street. So, you'll see probably about 50 folks roaming the streets looking like transportation planners, in the city.
Awesome. Are there any other comments? The notices are included. Is that just the newsletter and the rail survey?
Yes, if you click this, it'll take you to a link where you can sign up for the newsletter. So this QR code. And then we also want to highlight that there is currently an ongoing survey for a proposed passenger rail line between Atlanta to Savannah. And so if you want to give your input, the link is here to that survey.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And with that, we will adjourn. Our next TCC meeting will be October 16th. Thanks.